Avodah Zarah, Perek Hey, Mishnah Ches, 5:8. Now, the Mishnah will discuss what happens if you have a mixture that contains Yai Nesech with other kosher wine. And the short of it is that that mixture is forbidden, even if there's the tiniest amount of Yai Nesech mixed into the mix. That said, just to take a step back to understand a bit of the background here and what's going on. So, midoraisa, if you have a mixture of what's called Yavish B'Yavish, different discrete items, like three pieces of chicken, two of the chickens were slaughtered with proper shechita, one didn't have a proper shechita. So the mixture of the three can be considered permitted. Okay, that's what bittul baro, the majority loses its status and identity amongst the majority. When it comes to a situation of what's called lach balach, where you have the taste of the forbidden thing commingling with the taste of the forbidden thing, then it becomes more complicated. The basic idea is that we treat ta'am ke'ikar. If there's any presence of the taste, then it's as if the thing itself is there, and it's not batal, it's forbidden. There's a discussion in the Rishonim if that's a d'oraisa or a rabbanan. In any case, we say as long as the taste is discernible in the mix, so then the mixture is forbidden, and we assume that if you haven't got a kfila armai, a trained palate, to taste the mix, and of course it's not Jewish to take to the tasting, so then we assume that the threshold for perceptibility is 60 times, meaning if you have 1/60th of the mixture is forbidden substance, the mixture is forbidden. If you have 60 parts permitted against one part of forbidden, then the whole mixture is permitted. That's the basic assumption. Now, our mission is considering what happens if there's no such thing as being able to discern the taste, because the two tastes are exactly the same. We have wine and wine. Just some wine is Yai Nesach and some wine is kosher wine. So then again, midoraisa, the rule would be that for any such mixture, we would have bittul barov, the majority rules and the minority loses its identity. Midorabbanan across the board were strict in general to at least have 60 times of permitted against forbidden. This is really a derabbanan, so people shouldn't get mixed up with a mixture of min b'she'enam, you know, things that have different tastes. Okay, which would mean that if Yai Nesach followed the normal rules, then you would say, listen, midoraisa, a mixture of permitted and forbidden wines together, as long as the majority is kosher, the whole thing is kosher, that's a doraisa. Midorabbanan, it should be 60 times of heter against iser, permitted against forbidden wine. However, because the Torah is so strict against Yai Nesach, so are the rabbis, and therefore they said, even the tiniest drop of Yai Nesach mixed in, make the whole mixture forbidden. As a matter of halacha l'maisa, it actually kind of depends, it's a little more complicated than the Mishnah lets on, in terms of which was being poured into which. Was it a eyedropper pouring Isser into Heter, or the other way around? But in any case, for our purposes here, we'll say the whole mixture is forbidden in any amount, of the presence of any amount of Yai Nesach. So that said, our mission says inside, Yain Nesech Asur, Yai Nesech is forbidden, in Isur Hana, in any amount, Va'oser B'chol Shehu, and it makes a mixture forbidden if it's present in any amount. The Isur is present in any small amount, Kol Shehu, like one molecule of Yai Nesech, makes the whole mixture forbidden. Yain B'Yain U'mayim B'Yain, excuse me, Yain B'Yain U'mayim B'mayim B'chol Shehu. This is true whether you're talking about wine that was used for libations, or water that was used for libations. So if you have water and water mixed together, you can't taste the difference in the forbidden and permitted water. Same as wine and wine. If you have Yai Nesach mixed up with regular wine, you can't taste the difference. Then the whole mixture is forbidden, regardless of the ratio of permitted to forbidden wine. However, Yain b'mayim or mayim b'yain, if you have water and wine mixed together and only one of them is usser, so then benos and tam. Now, again, you have min b'she'en amino, things of different types. So the point is, if the taste of the prohibited item is discernible, then the mixture is forbidden. If not, then not. And we assume that's 60 times, 1/60th is the threshold of perceptibility there. Fine. So that's the basic point of the mission here. Then it says something which seems a little bit redundant. It says, Zeh HaKlal, the governing principle is, Min b'mino b'mashehu. If you have two things of the same taste that get mixed up together, then even the smallest amount of Isra makes the whole mixture forbidden. Vishalo b'mino b'nosan tam. If it's of two different tastes that are mixed together, so then if the taste is perceptible, then it's forbidden. If not, then not. The problem is, if we're talking about wine, we just said those principles before, and the Gemara will always ask, Zeh HaKlal la suye mai, when you have a statement of the Mishnah that says Zeh HaKlal, there's a governing principle, it has to be coming to add some specific case. And so we've discussed the case already about wine. And the thing is, when it comes to other things, this is not exactly true. As I said before, we have a min bimino mixture, so it's not pamasha. Usually min bimino, if it's the same taste mixed together, then we said, at least midirabanan, it's forbidden at 60th, but not more than 60 times against. Okay, so what is this mishnah coming to add? So the Gemara says it's coming to add one more thing, which is strict, which is tevel. Tevel is untithed produce. And we're saying here that if you have tevel, untithed produce, that get mixed up with tithed produce, the whole mixture is forbidden. And the idea here is that untithed produce contains trumas and maizos, truma at least, if you eat it as a non-Kohen, the iser, the prohibition carries the penalty of misa b'dei shemayim, death of the hands of heaven, that's very severe. So truma is a very serious business. According to Rashi, you have that for maizos as well. In any case, so therefore, since the rule is that to remove truma from a mixture, really midoraisa, even one kernel, one drop, one grain will do. So then the basic idea is keheteru kach isuro. Since we treat one tiny piece as being significant to make the mixture permitted, the tevel to become permitted, I should say not mixture, but the tevel. So too, if you a bit of tevel falls in the mixture, the whole mixture becomes forbidden. Okay, and that's what the mishnah is coming to add here, which is saying if you have tevel that gets mixed up, min bimino, into other kind of tevel and non-tevel mixed up together, the whole thing becomes forbidden. I should speak out that tevel is a little different than truma. Truma, if you have truma that gets mixed up with non-truma, so then we don't have a bamashu, we have the requirement to be, has to be more than 100 times of heter against one unit of iser. The base of that is not for right now, but that's a different, more strict rabbinic amount than the usual 60 times. In any case, that's a basic summary of the laws of mixtures. Tarova is super complicated, so if you have an actual real question about halach lemaisa beyond what I discussed here, or even that sounds like similar to what I said here, you're best off asking your local Orthodox rabbi.